There was no way the woman could have known he was waiting in her apartment when she walked in that night. She couldn't hear him, because he made no sound. She couldn't detect his body heat, because he didn't emit any. He had all the advantages. He could see her just as well in the dark as he could have in full light. Maybe better. He could hear every sound she made, right down to the steady beat of her heart and the rush of blood through her veins. He could smell her. Strawberry shampoo, baby powder scented deodorant, aging nail polish, a hint of perfume, even the fabric softener scent that lingered on her clothes. She stepped into the dark apartment, closed the door behind her, and turned the locks, all without reaching for a light switch. She leaned back against the door and heeled off her shoes, shrugged the heavy-looking handbag from her shoulder, along with her coat, and draped them both over a hook on the tree near the door. Still no light switch. She sighed and padded across the carpet, sank into the sofa, let her head fall backward. She worked as a nurse at an elementary school in rural Pennsylvania, spent her days wiping bloody noses and checking heads for nits. A far cry from her former career. He waited until she'd closed her hand unerringly on the remote control and aimed it at the television before he spoke.
"Don't turn that on." The remote dropped to the floor, and she shot to her feet with a broken cry, her hands pressing to her chest as she searched the darkness with wide, frightened eyes.
"No need to be afraid," he said, stepping from the darker shadows near the door into the slightly lighter ones that surrounded her. She could see him now, just barely, a black silhouette in the darkness. To help her out, he shook a cigarette from his pack, put it to his lips, fired it up. He watched her fear deepen as the flame briefly lit up his face. He took a long pull and released the smoke while she stood there with her heart pounding like a rabbit's.
"I didn't come here to hurt you. I will, of course, if you make me. I'd probably enjoy it. But ultimately, it's up to you."
Who are you? What do you want?"
He rolled his eyes at the utter predictability of the questions.
"Sit down. Relax. I only want to talk to you."
He held out the pack.
"You want to smoke?"
"No."
She sat down, just barely perching on the very edge of the sofa, shaking from head to toe.
But...
"But what? Go on, ask. The worst I can do is say no. What do you want?"
"Could you turn on a light?"
"No."
He smiled, amused by his own little joke.
"See? That wasn't so bad, was it?"
She let her head fall forward, catching her face in her palms. Crying now. God, he hated crying women. He reached out for a handful of the blonde hair on the very top of her head, tugged her head upward. It didn't cause her any pain, but she whimpered anyway.
"Come on now. I'm going to need your full attention for this."
She sniffled, wiped her eyes, squinted through the darkness at him. If she could see him at all, he supposed she could probably see his hair. He didn't really care. He'd only refused to turn on the lights because she wanted them on. He needed her uncomfortable, afraid, and off balance.
"So here's the thing," he said. "I've been hunting for this man for, oh, more than 40 years now. And during the course of my search, I found that he had a connection to you, a recent one in the scheme of things. So here I am."
"What man?"
Her voice was only a whisper now.
"Frank Stiles."
He saw the way she jerked in reaction, then tried to hide it.
"Why is it you're looking for this Stiles?"
He didn't have to answer, but he answered anyway.
"He's a vampire hunter. I'm a vampire, you see. Thought it might be fun, turn the tables, hunter becomes the hunted and all that."
"Oh God, oh God."